Rick Warren, and I apply that, and then it revitalized my way of thinking, and I'm praying that this will help you. Okay, and there's negative things going on in the world today about Rick Warren, and what we're gonna do? We'll just take the meat, and then we'll throw the bones. Okay, how many of you heard about negative things about Rick Warren? Anybody? Okay, you heard about the emerging church? So the emerging church is something that Rick Warren embraced, that with other churches at other denomination become one big church, and he is one of the promoter, something like that. Is that what you heard, Brother Ray? Unless it's different, something emerging church. So, but for us, we are small church. I kind of refrain from that belief. But when Jesus Christ comes, that's where the big church is. But not before he comes. Okay? So I just grab the things that I believe that's a biblical way. And I throw away those things that are not really, that I don't embrace. But this thing, the lesson that we're going to study for the next 5 weeks is something that it's really revitalized. It's really strengthened your finances. Remember I mentioned to you about the financial fitness? That's what we're going to start today, because this really helps me. And we're going to use the two books, the book of Proverbs and the book of Ecclesiastes, which is, there's plenty of promises about finances, about blessings, about principles on finances or material things. And I just want us to have a financial stability. And, you know, Brother Ray talking about the finances that will, something's gonna happen this coming October. Maybe it's too late for us in this study, but this one is gonna be for a long term. That's something that we're gonna look forward, not not right away. Okay. So these are the principles that I learned from him, and I would like to impart that with you, because I tell you the truth. Since we started the church, I never have a salary from this church until 2 years ago, when I learned that, you know, in order for us to learn how to give, we need also to learn how to receive. How many say that's true? If we don't know how to learn to receive, there's no way that we can learn how to give. Right? So that's why I accept the offer of the board of elders 2 years ago. You guys give me a salary. Okay, so that's really that, even that we have a salary, that they give the church, you know, give me a salary, but yet the finances of the church didn't even move a little bit. They didn't even have a negative impact. Even though you pay a salary. And in fact, it even grow farther. So that means there's really something when you learn how to give, how to receive, you learn how to give. So that's why I'm really excited to share this study that I pick it up from one of the seminars that he gave. And the title of my message is about what do we have that there? Financial fitness. And the text that we're going to use this morning is in Matthew chapter 25. And we'll talk about the finances. And I don't know if you guys know that Jesus Christ speaks more on finances than heaven and hell. Do you know that? That he has the parable that he has. Do you know how many parables that Jesus Christ has? 46? 18. Half of that parable, Jesus Christ talked about money, how you spend money, how you earn money, how to invest your money, how you invest. The thing is, it's not only investing your money, but investing your time, investing your talents, investing your relationship with one another. So Jesus Christ speaks more on this investment or investing than heaven and hell. So, and I believe that if God speaks more on this area, that means there's something, that there's weight in there. It's something that we have to pay attention, right? Because he speaks more than half or almost half of his parable is about investing time, investing money, investing your talents. Right? So I'm excited to share this with you this morning, because when we learn how to apply these principles, then we might be able to not really, you will become millionaires. No, I'm not talking about millionaires. Okay? I'm talking about stability. Because it's not money that you earn that count, but it's the money that you spend. Right? Because the more money you receive, the more money that you give, right? That you spend. Amen. So that's the one that's in my mind. Because once we think, it's the way how we perceive things is the way how we respond to those things, right? The way how what we think, that's the way how you handle it, right? So that's why if we had been thinking for so long, that means, and it's still, you know, we have some problem with handling our money, that means we need to change, right? Amen? So let's open our Bible to Matthew chapter 25. You guys are all you there? Matthew 25. And we're going to study like in the classroom setting. Okay? I'm not going to start, you know, start yelling at you, and then my veins start to come out here, and start washing my forehead with my handkerchief, you know. So, but we're just going to study like a Bible study. Is that okay? All right. Matthew 25. Are you all there? Matthew 25. And we're going to start reading on Matthew 25, verse 14. All right. I'm just going to read it. Follow along with what version do you have. Are you all there? Okay. Verse 14 of Matthew 25. Again, it will be like a man going on a journey. When you see again, what does it again saying? Again, that means he's saying previous to that, which is in chapter 1. Again, he's saying, again, the kingdom of God is like this. Like in verse 1, at that time, the kingdom of heaven will be like, right? That's what he's saying in verse 14. Again, or he says, again, at this time, the kingdom of heaven is like just like a man going on a journey who called his servant, entrusted his property to them. To one, he gave 5 talents of money. To another, 2 talents. And to another, 1 talent. It's according to his ability. Then he went on his journey. The man who had received 5 talents went, and at once he put his money to work and gained 5 more. So also the one with 2 talents gained 2 more. But the man who had received 1 talent went off, dug in a hole in the ground, and he hid his master's money. After a long time, the master of this servant returned and settled with them. The man who had received 5 talents brought the other 5. Master, he said, you entrusted me with 5 talents. See, I have gained 5 more. Verse 21. His master replied, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness. The man with 2 talents also came. Master, he said, you entrusted me with 2 talents. See, I have gained 2 more. His master replied, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness. Then the man who had received the 1 talent came. He said, I know that you are a hard man, harvesting where you have not sown and gathering where you have not scattered seed. So I was afraid, and I went out and hid your talent in the ground. See, here it is what belongs to you. His master replied, you wicked, lazy servant. So you know that I harvest where I have not sown and gather where I have not scattered seed. Well then, you should have put my money on the deposit with the bankers, so that when I return, I would have received it back with interest. Take the talent from him and give it to the one who has 10 talents. For everyone who has well, be given more, and he will have an abundance. Whoever does not have even when he was well, will be taken from him. And throw that worthless servant outside into the darkness, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Shall we pray? Lord Jesus, we thank you this morning. We thank you, God, that we have access to your words, to the Bible this morning. Then, Father, we pray that as we learn, as we study, Lord God, that we ask for your Holy Spirit to be with us and enlighten us and instruct us, Lord, so that we may be able, Lord, to follow your will in each one of our life. And Lord, we ask all of this through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. And everybody said, amen. Well, many people misunderstood this parable because it has the word talents. See that talents? And the word talents, the first thing that we come to our mind is about gifts. It's about the abilities, about things that we like to do. Right? So, but the English word of talents actually comes from this chapter. And before Jesus tells the story about the talents, the word talent never existed. And the talent is a measurement of money. While this has application to our talents, to our whatever abilities that we have, a talent was a specific weight. And there's 3 kinds of talents at Jesus' time. There's a Babylonian talents, there is a Greek talents, and there's also a Roman talents. So in this chapter 25, the story of a rich man, it's a rich businessman, and Jesus tells us the story of a guy that is very, very rich, very wealthy. And the Bible tells us that how much he gave to his servant. He told his servant, you know what, I'm going for a long trip, and I'll be gone for a long time, but I'm going to put you in charge of my property. And he divides up his property, his wealth. In those days, there is no Bank of America, there is no Wells Fargo, there is no Dow Jones that you can invest your money. At that time, the money that they have is put underneath their bed. Okay? So, this wealthy man is going for a journey, and he wants to distribute his money to his three servants. And he says, you know what? I expect you guys to do something to make most of the money that I'm going to give you. And that when I come back, I will see to it that what happened, and he was gone for a while, and when he come back, he will say, okay, guys, give me an account of how well you done with the money that I have entrusted you. And they told to this master what had happened with this money. The two of them have a good report. Remember, he has a good rate of return, ROI, rate of return or rate of investment. And the other one, he doesn't have a good report. So that Jesus, he drew a principle. A principle that there is a spiritual truth that you and I can learn this morning. Okay? So out of this story, we learn there are seven foundations of financial fitness. And if you have not learned to take note this time, I suggest that you better take note, because we're gonna study this for 5 weeks, and this morning we're gonna look up seven principles of financial fitness. Amen. See, in verse 14, it says, again, it will be like a man. When you say again, it's about the kingdom. Again, it will be like a man going on a journey who called his servant and entrusted his property to them. So, by the way, when he said about this, giving his servant, entrusted his property, he's talking about stewardship. He's talking about stewardship. You heard this word before, stewardship or steward is an old word for manager. How many are managers this morning? Is there anybody that are managers in their place of work? Nobody? Becky. Or Regine, you're a manager, right? So we are all managers. Anybody, you need to raise your hand. Everybody. Everybody are managers. Because we are managers of our time. We are managers of our relationship. We are managers of our salary. We are managers of so many things, that of your health, right? Some of us, you're getting overweight. We need to manage our body, of the things that we eat, right? We are all managers. Amen? So that means you can really relate what I'm saying this morning, right? Amen? So any of us who are managers involved, we are all managers. You and me are called to be steward of our time. Right? We are called to be steward of our influence. We are called to be a steward of our health. How can I preach about stewardship of our health when the person standing before you is coughing? He's not a good steward of his health. Right? So okay. So this is so that with that in mind, in verse 4, it says, again, it will be like a man going on a journey who called his servant or entrusted his property. So the principle that we can draw from that is that there's the law of possession. There's a law of possession. Everything I have belongs to God. So I need you to settle this one right in front. If it is not my money, it belongs to God. But wait a minute, I work for that. I spent 8 hours, 12 hours working for that money, right? Yes? Spent 8 times. You spent more time at work, you spent more time earning money than staying home, right? So that's why we need to have a good steward of those things. So the first law that we can draw from this is that there is the law of possession. Everything I have belongs to God. Amen? Amen. We need to settle that first. And I want you to turn around and tell that person, that's not your money. It belongs to God. Come on. Turn to that person. It's not your money. That belongs to God. Amen? So I had to settle that first. Because if that's not right, if you don't agree with that, the rest of the principle that you're going to study is no good. Because it doesn't fit in anymore. Okay? Did you tell that person next to you that's not his money or her money? It belongs to God, right? It belongs to God. But wait a minute, I work for that. I wake up at 6 o'clock in the morning, sometimes even 4, to go to work. That's my money. But where do you think you got your body to work for that? Where do you think you get that body? Where do you think you give your energy? You don't drink the Monster so that you can go to work. Right? Where do you think you get your energy to work for that? Where do you think you got your intelligence to work for that? So, everything you have is a gift from God. Amen? Everything that you have is a gift from God. You don't really own anything in life. Right? You came into this world with what? With nothing. And you go out with nothing. So you only get to use it while you are here. Amen? You only have the privilege to use it. You only have the privilege to manage it while you are here. God loaned it to you. God might loan it to somebody before you. He loaned it to you for 80 years. Right now? Ma'am, God loaned that money to you for 90 years. Imagine that. And he's going to loan that to you. When you're done, he's going to loan that to somebody. With the 90 years old, I hope he will loan it to me. For 90 years. Right? He give 5 talents to another, 2 talents to another, and 1 talent according to their according to their ability. Then he went away. What in the world is he talking about? Literally, 1 Roman talent. Watch for this. 1 talent, a Roman talent, is about 71 pounds. About 71 pounds. Okay? 1 talent is about 71 pounds. There are 16 ounces in 1 pound. Okay? So 71 times 16 is about 1,136 ounces. Last Friday, I checked the price of gold is 1,200 an ounce. 1,200? That means if you got 1 talent, is $1,363,000 as of today. 1 talent. That means he gave the other one 2 talents. He has 2,726,000 to manage. And the other five talents, he got 6,185,000. So he's not talking about, he's not talking about hundreds. Right? Because we think he one talent is what? Nothing? 1 talent is about what? 1,363,000. So he's not talking small time. God is talking about big time. Because God is not a small time. He's a big time God, right? Amen. So we need to start thinking big time. Amen. So that will bring us to our second law of financial fitness. The second law is that the law of allocation. Everything I have has loaned to me. So this, the money that I receive, the gifts or the talents or whatever it is, everything that I receive is loaned to me. You don't really own it. It is loaning to you for 30, 40, 60, 70, 90. In the case of mom, is 91 years old. It was loaned to her. You notice that in the story that Jesus tells us that everybody get different amount. One is 1 talent, 2 talents, and 3 talents. So that's Drua's principle that everybody have a different amount, different talents, number of talents. So that's something struck me, because Obama wants to have equality. He wants everybody to get the same amount. This equality of social value that we have. That's also the same thing with Hillary Clinton. He wants equality, salary equality. How can it be? Because here, even in the Bible, it's talking about everybody have a different amount. Because everybody responds to a different situation. Amen? And so that the second law of financial fitness, we have to understand that allocation, the salary, the work that you have, we are not the same doing the same work. Do we? Everybody, that person, we have an auditor, we have an accountant, we have a medical personnel, we have a computer analyst, or we have managers. Everybody have a different allocation. Amen? But the thing that we need to know is that these are loaned. This is not all mine. Everything that I have belongs to God. And the couple things I just want to highlight in this is that money is a toll to be used. You put it at work. Your money, you use your money, you love people. Amen? Use your money, you love people. If you get it in reverse, you are in a lot of trouble, because you're going to start loving your money and you will use people. People are to be loved and money is to be used. Amen? Here's the point. You get to choose what you do with what God gives you. Is that fair? You have the choice. You have your prerogative of whether what you're going to do with that money. The response is, you know what? I give you this, 1 talent, 2 talents, 5 talents. I want you to do whatever you want to do. But when I come back, you have to give an account. Right? There is a spiritual truth that Jesus Christ is putting a line on us. Amen? So we need to know that the first the, the first principle is that there is a position that the money that we have belongs to God. Number two, there is allocation. We allocated for each one of a different amount, and these are the money that allocated for us is a loan for us. Amen? But then he give you the privilege. You have to choose what you're going to do with that money that you have, what's loaned to you. You can spend it, you can use it, you can invest it, you can hoard it. There's a lot of things you can do, but God let your way to do it. But when you have take an account, when he comes back, we have to stand. Everybody has to stand before him to settle an account. Because it says, this is a test for you. In verse 19, that it says there, it says, after a long time, the master of this servant returned and settled account with them. That will bring us to our third law, which is the law of accountability. The law of accountability. That one day, God will come and will do audit to what he has given us. Like Regine, everybody will take an account. One day, God is going to audit me. And he's going to come and settle the account. He's going to have a final exam on the life that God gave it to us. Amen? What did you do with your life? Created and put you in this planet. I made you for a reason. You and I was created by God for a reason. And that's why we are here. Amen? And certain abilities, certain opportunities, certain resources, intelligence that we have, certain energy. God will ask us, what did you do with the one that I give you? Do you think I'll put you on the earth to live for yourself? So have you seen that bumper sticker that says, he who dies with a lot of toys win? Have you seen that? The sticker should say, he who dies with the most toys will still dies anyway. Because there will be a time that we're going to stand before the Lord and take an account. Amen? In Romans chapter 12, it says, so then, each of us will give an account of ourselves to God. See? The law of accountability says, one day God will say, what did you do with the money that I gave you? The same thing with Nanay. You know, Nanay, someday, the auditor of the Inland Regional Center will come to your place and they said, what did you do, Mary, with that money that I give you? Huh? Do you know? See, he's going to come to your house. Brother Ray is going to come to your house and he will audit you. Right? Yeah. Huh? I should say amen for that. Huh. Yeah, he's going to come. And all of us is going to stand before the Lord. And he says, what did you do? What would you do, Victus, with the talent that I gave it to you? You know what, Lord? I grew some money, but I died. Wrong answer. See? What did you do? So he says, notice, there's three guys have three responses. The first guy have a good report. He has a good return of investment. In verse 20, it says, I didn't put it there. It says, the man who received the 5 talents brought the other 5, and he said, you entrusted me with 5. See, I have gained 5 more. In verse 21, it says, his master replied, well done, good and faithful servant. He has 100% rate of return. I'll be happy if I can get 10% in savings. In savings in the bank today is about 2%. But this is 100%. 2 out of 2. 5 out of 5. So probably this guy invested in Google. because he get a 100% rate of return. Maybe he get in touch with Bill Gates. Same thing with the other guy. The second guy has a good return of report. It says in verse 22, it says, the man with two talents also came. Master, he said, you entrusted me with two talents. See, I have gained two more. So he doubled his investment. And his master replied, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share with me in my happiness. So 100% rate of return. Now the third guy, he does not have a good report because he did not use wisely what God has given him. In verse 24, the man who had received one talent came, Master, he said, I know that you are a hard man, harvesting which you have not sown and gathering where you have not scattered seed. I was afraid, and I went out and hid your gold in the ground. See here is what belongs to you. Verse 26, his master replied. Look at what his master replied. Do I have it there? Verse 26. Oh, I jumped. In verse 26, he says, his master replied, you wicked, lazy servant. Let's look at this one deeper, because I believe there is a spiritual truth in this one. The guy buried the talent in the ground. He does not did anything with that talent. He does not even use his talent. And then he blamed his master for his own mismanagement. He blamed his master for his failure. He said, I'm a victim. Now notice the master's response to this guy. In verse 27, let's put that one, Irvin. He says, you should have put my money in the bank. That's what the master said. When he said, you know what? You should have done something. You should have put something that will have interest. And I mean, I just put it in a passbook account. It does not give a higher interest earning, but at least it's better than digging in the hole in the ground. You could have saved some money. And so that will lead us to our fourth law of utilization. Number four, it says, the law of utilization. It must use God's money. I must use God's money. God expects me to use what I got. Not to hoard it, not to sit on it, not to hide it, not to bear it, not to deny it. Not money is a tool and it was meant to be used. It was not meant to be stockpiled. You know, I used to work at Chino Prison for 7 years. I live in Ontario. And every morning I have to pass to Euclid, Riverside and Euclid, going to Chino, California Institution for Men. And in that area, there's a large farm or there's a large cattle. There's a lot of cows. And every morning I have to pass by there. But the thing is, I don't have to use a perfume. You pass by there, oh my God, it stinks. There's a lot of cows and it's piled a mountain high. And it's stinky. And the same thing, when we stockpiled our money, it stinks. But then, when you spread out that money, you use it as a fertilizer, it makes the grass green. So there's a lesson there too. The neighbor hid your money. Put it to work. You use it for God's kingdom. Because if you stockpiled it, it stinks. Right? See, amen? Now, this third guy, he has a problem. He was so cautious, he's conservative, nothing venture, nothing gain, and just sits on it. And he takes what is his master money, and he did nothing. And thus, this upset his master. And the master said, "Are you serious? You didn't put anything in the bank so that it will earn money?" And then his master said, "You wicked, lazy servant. That's not an accounting term, Brother Ray, huh? Wicked. It's not an accounting term, right? And it's the thing is, you see, is it really strong? It looks like it's very strong, huh?" His master said, "You know what? You're wicked." But he says here is this. This is serious sin. When you don't use the talent that I gave you. When you don't use that money for my kingdom. You see, it's wicked. Anytime you misuse or abuse the resources that I give you, if you don't use it wisely, God says, that's wicked. I put you on earth to see if I could trust you. If I cannot trust you on earth with some money, misuse it, some money mismanagement, how can I trust you in heaven that has a greater responsibility? God put you on earth to see if he could trust you. And you said nothing is inexcusable. And there is a truth on everything. Doing nothing with your talent, you just sin on it. You don't use your talent. Doing nothing with your money, you just sin on it. It's a sin. If you don't use it wisely. So he said, you just buried it. You don't even put it in a bank. What do we do when we bury something? We bury things to forget them. You see, I don't want to think about this. I don't want to face it. I don't want to deal with this responsibility. Money is too big for me, or it's a responsibility, so I don't want to think about it. And that's what happened when we try to bury something. And that is why a lot of people are deeply in debt, because they don't want to think about it. And that they have a running balance, and then they just pay the minimum for their credit card, and then just keep on doing it. Never get out of there. And that there's a lot of people that are deeply in trouble because of that. They don't think about it. And when they receive that statement every month, they just look up the minimum balance and pay the minimum balance. So that brings us the fifth law of our financial fitness. The fifth law is motivation. I must move against my fear. I must move against my fear. I have to do the very thing, the fear most that I have. Because in verse 25, it says, so, do we have that there? Verse 25, so I was afraid. I hid your money in the ground. I hid your money. So that tells us there is fear. We are getting to real issue here. There is a multiple kinds of fear that can hold us back. There is self-doubt. There is fear of failure. There is fear of hesitation. How many of you at your high school that has fear that caused you to hesitate? To do something, to come forward. Because there is fear. Fear of hesitation. In Proverbs 29, verse 25, do we have that there? It says, fearing people is a dangerous trap, but trusting the Lord means safety. So you worry what people think about your life, you'll never be successful in life. But Pastor Ed, I messed up my financial in the past. You know what? It doesn't matter. What's important is that where are you heading now? From today. Where are you heading? Where are you? You know, as you receive this message, what you gonna do with your life? What we gonna do with the financial debt that you have? Amen? So one of the principles that we're going to look up over the next few weeks is called little by little principle. Stick with me for the next 5 weeks. I can tell you how to get out of that. One thing I can do, I share with you with my financial testimony. See, when I first come to know Christ, the first thing that I realized that I need to do is the 20-20-80 principle, or 10-10 principles. Have you heard that 10-10 principles? Pareto principle? You put 10% of your salary to your tithes, 10% of your salary to your savings, and 80% you spend it. You think you can spend 80% of your salary? No? See, 10% goes to your tithes, 10% to your savings, and then you spend 80%. God gave you that privilege, whatever you want to do. But you know what? When I start to follow that, now I'm working with my 30%. I'm spending 70% of my salary, giving my 30% to my tithes. And you know what? Praise the Lord, we never run out of food in our table. Amen? And then, in verse 28, do we have that there? It says, take away the money from this servant, and I give it to the one with 10 talents. To those who use well what they are given, even more will be given, and they will have an abundance. Wow, they will have an abundance. But for those who are unfaithful, even what little they have will be taken away. So the sixth principle that we can learn this morning, there is an application, the law of application. If you don't use it, what happened? Lose it. Those are universal principles, brothers and sisters. If you don't use it, you lose it. If you are not using what you got, you don't get what you got. God has the right to take away anything that you don't use to invest for Him, for His glory. Because it all belongs to who? In the first place, it belongs to God. And this is a universal law. If you don't use it, you lose it. If you refuse to exercise, you lose muscle. Right, Sister Rose? That's why Sister Rose exercises every morning. I'm glad he wakes me up. She wakes me up every morning. Because I don't have that spirit of waking up in the morning. And he throw the pillow to me and says, wake up, it's time to walk. If you don't exercise, you lose that muscle, brothers and sisters. What do you call it? Atrophy. See? She knows it. That's a universal law. You don't use it, you lose it. Amen? I refuse to think, my mind goes dull. There we go. That's Sister Rose. She has that lumosity. Have you guys are using lumosity? Huh? Lumosity? That's exercise your brain. Stimulate your brain. See, God give us the energy. And if you need energy, God give us the energy. If you need money, God give you money. He loaned you money. Amen? This is how He blesses us. Whenever you sow, you reap. Man, you know, you guys know this. So that bring us to our final law. The law of compensation. God will reward me for good money management. Amen? God will reward me for good money management. God will remind me for good money management. And that is the money. Money is the acid test of your faithfulness. God uses it more than anything else in your life to test your faith. And why is that? Because that's the hardest thing to overcome. Money management. Now look up the reward in verse 21. Do we have that there? Verse 21? It says, his master replied, well done, good and faithful servant. That's the first reward. Good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. That's the second reward. And then the last reward is, come and share your master's happiness. You got three rewards for being a good money manager. First, you got there is affirmation. His master, well done, good and faithful servant. And then he says, you have been faithful with few, I will put you in charge of me. That's promotion. First, affirmation, and then God, there's a promotion. And then the last thing, the last reward, come and share your master's happiness. That's what? Celebration. So put that affirmation, promotion, and celebration. Look at the last passage that I would like to share with you. It's in Luke chapter 16, verse 11 to 13. I put it there for easy. Just put Luke 16, 11 to 13. It says, and if you are untrustworthy about worldly wealth, who will trust you with the true riches of heaven? See, if we cannot even be trusted with the worldly wealth that we have right now, how can the Lord trust you with the riches in heaven? So that's why the money, the talents, whatever we called it, is a test for us. If God could not trust you with the riches of the worldly wealth, how can God trust us in the riches of heaven? And if you are not faithful with other people's thing, why should you be trusted of your own? Think about that. Why should be trusted on your own? No one can serve two masters. For you will hate one and love the other. You will be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. Amen? So those are the things that we're going to start in this financial fitness that we're going to learn for the next 5 weeks. And the second one, something is even better than the one that we have today. Okay? So don't take a day off for the next 5 weeks. Okay? Because this will revitalize this will change your habit, your thinking, your perception of what is a talent. It's the money that God has loaned us. But the first thing that we have to learn is that money belongs to God. Okay? Amen? Oh, hallelujah. I'm excited that this will really help us in our thinking about money management. And let me close this question. If God audited your finances, what grade would you think He's going to give you? A, B, C, A being the excellent, B, maybe mediocrity, and C, maybe try again. Which one do you think God will give you a grade? What kind of grade do you have? Huh, Sister Rose? If God give you a grade of A being excellent, or A, B being mediocre, C, maybe try again. What grade do you think you're gonna, what God will give you? For money management. A-minus, yay. How many will say A-minus? Huh? So that's why there's 1, 2, 3, 4 have A. So that's why this lesson really will help us. Because my purpose is to bring you up. My purpose is to make you A+, not only A-, will bring you to A+. Amen? So that's why what we're going to do. And I believe this really will help us. And especially coming to a prediction or what do you call that, Brother Ray? Yeah. So this maybe will help us, and that because once your money is out of your hand, man, a lot of people is gonna worry. And worry will kill you. And a lot of people get committed a suicide because the stocks went down. Okay? So remember, money is only a tool. You use money, you love people. You see, if there's people around you that loves you, you're blessed. Okay? Amen? Amen. Shall we stand? Oh, hallelujah. Shall we pray? Lord, we thank you this morning. Thank you for the verse, the scriptures that you give it to us, where we can study, Lord, and improve our management, Lord God, and even in the area of finances. Father, we pray that you will remind us, Lord, as we even take notes of the things that we talk about this morning. God, we pray that it will help us, Lord, and improve our management of the things that you have given to us, Lord God. Because you want us, Lord, to be what you want us to be, Lord, in this world. You put us, Lord, for a reason in this world, Lord God. And Father, we thank you that you are helping us, Lord, to accomplish what you have called us to do, Lord God. And Father, we thank you. And as we come, Lord, and bring our tithes and offering, Father, we pray that you will bless them, Lord, that abundantly, Lord God, that they will even prosper them, Lord, the things that they have not seen before, Lord God. And Father, we thank you, God, for bringing us together this morning, Lord. And Lord, we ask all of this through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. And everybody said,